Joe, you want to make some comments? Go ahead.
Joe Stenger, if you can unmute yourself, then you'll be able to speak.
Okay, sorry.
There you go.
Hear me now?
Yup.
Okay, so we're the house on the corner with the shed and the poles in our yard, okay? Right in the corner. So we've been here 30 years. So we know the history probably better than anybody. The speed limit and the warning signs that going from west to east it's always been tight and water, okay? So we've been here probably almost every time we've the Northville Police, and County Sheriff Department, great, just want to say. Whatever you guys want to do, the one thing that we know works are these flashing signs that put up, that flash the speed. I mean, we have watched the cars go by on a daily basis when we're out there, and the cars react to that. You can change the speed limit, you know, anything you want. People don't pay attention to speed limits. For some reason, those flashing signs work. It's something that myself and actually the neighbor Pat Neville have asked Yorkville and the sheriff a number of times when they've been out there to put in flashing signs, because we always felt that would work. Now they've been up for a fair period of time, you can see that they do work. They've cut down the number of people squealing through that part of Trenton. I wouldn't say they're totally gone, but it's been a huge improvement. And we think that's really the answer. I mean, there's been all kinds of talk about, you know, change the wider road. That discussion's happened for 30 years. Every time it comes up, Yorkville, the county, the Mercer Township, they all look at everything, and they look at the setbacks, the property, the utilities, both power lines and the underground, the gas lines run to the same side. They all come back to the same conclusion that they really don't want to change that curve. It's just not worth it. They'd rather spend the money to build the road someplace else. I mean, the more signs you can put up on the curb, slow up and down, and put those flashing signs, we really think is the answer. Ready, anything else to say?
Yeah, I have been, just knowing this meeting was coming up, been careful to watch out, because I can see that flashing sign from my kitchen. And over the last 2 days, I've kind of made a point of trying to watch and see how it affects people as they approach the sign. And this would be the sign as you are leaving Route 47 headed toward the west. Almost universally, we see the brake light start, and you can see on that flashing sign the speed. You know, they may be approaching at, you know, 45. They'll see that sign, and as they come closer, it'll be, okay, you can see them going, okay, I'm 42, I'm 41, down to 39. Most people, as they're actually taking that curve, when they're slowing down, heeding that flash, most of them are going through the curb somewhere between 31 and 36 miles an hour. And it's wonderful to see that, because that's, I think, the biggest problem is people taking that corner too quickly. So anything that can get their attention, remind them, oh, well, here's that corner, is a positive thing. And I did want to say just briefly, in the history of the various accidents we've seen, most of the time, it's not inclement weather. Most of the time, it's not when the road is the busiest with, you know, rush hour back and forth. Most of the time, it's during the middle of the day, not rush hour, on the weekend. And I think it's because people let their guard down. It isn't busy, the weather's not bad. In those times, they take it easier. But when it's just kind of, you know, oh, I'm just going down the road, we see that's when we've seen a lot of the accidents occur. And in those cases, having that flash there for the people who are just kind of, okay, it's just an average day, no big deal, I'm gonna go through, whatever, that warning, the reminder, if you will, that, you know, take it easy as you go through here. So, that's our, those are our thoughts.
Thank you for your comments.
Oh, no, there's no food really, it's either.
You can't hear anything right now.
We're not saying anything.
Nothing is being said, so I think they're gonna turn the mics back on, so they weren't getting any feedback.
There we go.
Do you have anything to say, or?
No, he's here, so.
Let me move on to minutes for correction of approval. Anybody have anything for minutes for approval?
I'm good.
Alright, we'll take those as presented. Go to PW 2020-55, capital improvement summary.
Yeah, within the packet is your typical quarterly update to some of the capital projects that have been taking place. So certainly can address any comments or questions anybody may have.
Any questions or comments?
Just on the middle road, is the developer now contributing toward this?
That has been the plan from day one. We're awaiting an official agreement between the developer and the city to move it forward. They've stated that they fully intend to fund it, and they have it in their budget for next spring, but there needs to be some paper, right? So there needs to be an agreement between the city and the developer. So
I just want to remind you that that's a little bit of a hang. So,
yep.
Is there ongoing communication, or is when's the last
communication? So we meet with Dean Empire, is the contact. So we meet on a quarterly basis, and I think we last met Eric in maybe September.
Yes.
And we'll meet with him again in November. And I actually spoke to Christy a couple days ago about reaching out to Dean about this again. Ideally, if you're going to construct this project, we should be bidding this project in January or February, the latest. So we're going to reach out to him again, kind of prepping for our next meeting coming up in November to talk through more detail.
Okay. Move on. Reduction summary. PW 2020-56.
Yeah, another quarterly update as we typically do. Not a lot of action on that side. There's a couple of items that are pending. Bart's review and approval that were just submitted recently, so they should show up on the next report at the end of the year.
Questions or comments on that? We need to move to new business number 3, PW 2020-57, meeting schedule for 2021. You guys have any time to go? We need to move something around the way that we're doing. And we can move on to new business, PW 2020-58, water department truck purchase.
Yes, excuse me, it's gone. What we have here is a proposal to purchase 2 pickup trucks through the state purchase program. I did check the source code on these, and this was cheaper to go through the state purchase this time. This is in the budget, and this actually comes in a little bit under budget, but we are asking for some of that money to be used to put some spray lining in the bottom of the toolboxes to actually make them last even longer. These will be replacing 2 trucks that have been in the fleet since, I believe, 08 and 2005.
Any questions or comments on that?
It's all budgeted.
Yeah.
Just the $1,400 is being used for the spray line. Utilizing 100% of what's been budgeted.
Yeah. Yes, we will. We'll utilize it right up to the last dollar if we can.
Just one. It's just a generic question, kind of. So, if something happens with LGDF after the election here, are you going to be able to? Do you have room in your budget to compensate for that?
These are strictly out of the water fund, so this is the enterprise fund, so it's just contained within water, not within general fund.
Okay.
that's just whatever comes out, that's going to go back into the fund.
We'll go into the water fund.
Unless that's.
Yeah.
We anticipate a certain amount.
Yes, we want to, yeah. Not a lot, but whatever goes will go back into the water.
All right. Thanks.
Sure. Anything else there?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
All right. Move that on. Gas and wash, PW 2020-59, acceptance.
Yes, a detailed memo and associated documents in the packet. So gas and wash, certainly open for business, and there were some public improvements installed as a part of this development. A sanitary sewer, which was extended to the north property line, and then also some sidewalk along the frontage. So those are the two elements that are up for acceptance consideration. Along with that, a recommendation to reduce the letter of credit. Letter of credit was fairly substantial because it included a number of things above and beyond the sewer and sidewalk work, such as some earthwork items and soil erosion sedimentation control. But all the detail is there.
Any questions?
Everything looks good. Eric and Brad. We're all good with this.
We'll give it to that one then. Kendall Marketplace, single family of residential in business number 6, PW 2020-60, subdivision acceptance consideration.
Yes, so the Cube Builders took over this project 3 or 4 years ago. They did put up a letter of credit to cover the remaining public improvements. There were a handful of underground utility punch list items. The main item had to do with resurfacing the roadway. All that work has been completed, and the punch list work has been wrapped up. There is a sewer issue that came about as part of the building improvement process that Eric has been working with them on. There was an email back today, some of you may have seen. That's related to a building permit issuance. We are recommending moving forward with the subjects of the utilities and the roadway, and then starting the 1 year of performance
in
the
matter. Question on that.
Just so when the townhomes across from this get brought in, will they have a separate money they put down to do, or do they?
Correct.
Or do we do some kind of like retroactive thing?
Yeah, two totally separate projects. Okay. So the townhome folks, have a separate letter of credit that is currently in place.
Okay.
And then that acceptance will come, you know, at some point in the future when it works.
Okay.
Any questions on that? Move that on. Business number 7, 2021 Road Better Roads Engineering Agreement. PW 2021-61.
Alright, so these next two agenda items are actually two design engineering contracts for the Road to Better Roads program and the Rebuild Illinois program that we had approved at the last city council meeting, or two city council meetings ago, rather. So the Road to Better Roads program engineering agreement is $47,000, thereabouts. It is a lump sum agreement, and it will get us again to construction phase, at which point we'll have to do another engineering agreement after it gets bid out. So this covers all of our roads generally south of the river in the older parts of town that we're planning on redoing this upcoming summer. And then the Fox Hill Rebuild Illinois one, same concept. This is money that's coming from the state via the Rebuild Illinois bond program. It's like $1.2 million we're getting over 3 years. We've already got $400,000 of it. And we're doing all the main thoroughfares in Fox Hill at a better quality or better cross-section of roadway than we normally do. And then again, this will design those, bring us up to the point where we'll be able to bid it, at which point then we'll entertain a construction engineering agreement So the Fox Hill one is for $83,000 and change. And then there's a note in there. Generally, this wasn't projected when we did the budget proposal in March. So it's not in the budget specifically. It does have to be approved by City Council anyway. We don't think that we're going to need a budget amendment in order to stay under budget with this item, because of some other items that have been delayed because of the pandemic and just construction timing. So if for some reason some of those items go forward at a later date, we may come back to you with a budget amendment. But we didn't need one now, so we didn't propose one now. We could do one if you wanted to, it's just we ran it past the mayor, and he said if you don't have to do one now, don't do one later. So.
On that, so procedurally, we just don't have to do it. Since
yeah.
the funding is there, it'd be more of a clarity issue if we wanted to, for lack of a better word, be more transparent on what was put into the budget, or actually expended from the budget, is really what it would come down to. Because we're just saying, the funding is there, we've deferred these, but we're spending here. The only reason we did the budget amendment was basically just clarify where that money went.
It's not
an issue with the audit, it's not going to be an issue with anything else, it's just clear.
Yeah, but then wouldn't you actually be increasing the budget?
Yes, theoretically. Yep.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah.
With the deferrals, unless we have something else come through, all recommendations are infinite.
You got anything on either one?
Yeah.
We can move those along now.
Okay.
We're already at number 9. PW 2020-63 ITED applications.
Okay, so this is a reminder. City Council did approve both applications to be submitted to the last City Council meeting, even though we're still working on the materials. So there's some updates in the brief memo that's on there. And so I'm looking to Zoom land via Aaron, and then Eric is in the room, and Brad too. There haven't been any updates since we penned the memo on Thursday in regards to the timing of the cost estimates or the scope or the drawings, correct?
Correct.
And Aaron's nodding her head too. Okay, so we don't have any updates other than what's in the memo. Those things are still fluid. So hopefully we're going to have the cost estimate on the grass seed this week.
Yes.
So hopefully we'll be able to give you an update at Tuesday City Council meeting. And then the other stuff will be at some point before we actually submit. So the update that's substantive regarding the Fox Hill Trail is that Kendall County did talk about that grant application at their Highway Committee meeting. And they had a lot more questions than answers at that point, and there wasn't anybody from the city there. So they said, well, you know, we're okay with this concept in general, but, you know, they didn't take a straw poll and say, like, yes, we're definitely giving the city $200,000. So anticipating that that might cause a little bit of conversation at our board level, the application can be submitted by the city with the county as a supporting agency. It's a joint application. And if we have the county on board ahead of time when we file, the application will look better, but there's no legal requirement that they join in. So the fact that the county isn't going to have an IGA with us that says exactly what they're committing to by the time we think that we're going to have to submit isn't a fatal flaw in the application as much as it is just like, you know, it's not a bonus to the application. So if everybody's okay with it, we can continue moving forward, continuing to engage the county and asking for funding for them, you know, at a later date. It's just at some point or another, if we get the application and it's approved and they haven't committed at that point, we would either have to pin them down or we could just say, well, we're just going to take this application up on its merits by the city only, meaning that we would be, you know, potentially funding $400,000 on top of the $2 million state grant. So that's what might happen, but we're still proceeding forward with the scope, the drawings, the map, still conversing with the county. My gut tells me that they're you know, behind it, and that, you know, we'll probably get an intergovernmental agreement with them here in the next month or two. They seem very excited to do so. It's just, you know, they had the same questions that you guys had. Where is this going to go? What is it going to look like? How much is it going to cost? And none of that was available at the last meeting. So the other item to note, and I don't remember if we put this in the memo, but Chris had posed the question at the city council meeting, can we add that section on the east end of our plan scope and get it all the way to 47? And we did take a look at that, and we thought that we could actually include that within the total project scope so that it would be, hopefully, no additional local match out of pocket. It would be all within the total grant budget. So that is something that we are proceeding forward with trying to do and scoping it out so that it goes all the way from Hoover to 47 via a nice multi-use path. So those are my updates if anybody has any questions or comments.
Bring this to old business number one, POE 2020-24, Kimball Trail Curves Implement.
Okay, I had a nice long memo in the packet too, just giving the updates that I had sent everybody via email probably about a week or so, a week or two ago. And let's see here, we still have members of the public. Yeah, Mr. Stenger is still on the call. So, and I don't know if he's seen the packet or if he had it, but one of the residents at the last meeting had given us two or three pages worth of questions that we did our best to answer. I copied everybody on our responses back to them. It covers everything from, you know, what the basis is for the speed limit and some of the nuances and how the speed limit can change based on the data to, you know, when was the road created and who's responsible for it and those types of questions. So I think all that is up to date as much as it can be. So if anybody has questions about those questions, we can take them now. And then the update from the township is that the township did formally engage HR Green to do the design. So that has changed since we drafted the memo. I don't remember what day the meeting was, but they let us know after I drafted it that they did approve that contract. So they are off and running with the design of the roadway. And then at that point, they're going to come back to us with a scope, a cost estimate, and then they'll talk to us at that point about who should be chipping in, if we should do the project, and that type of thing. So that is, I think, about as good of a deal and as good of a, you know, project solution as we're going to get on this type of a thing. So I'm excited to see what they come back with and see if we can fit it into our budget.
Other questions,
Ken?
Sounds good. I like the collaboration with the township. This one. I know the concern has just been thrown out for speed limits, but we are tied with what we have for ability to reduce that based on the results. So looking at the design, it's a good way to approach it, and hopefully we can come to terms with it. Township and county on the funding and see what that design really ultimately would look like. So hopefully we can have some improvements that are able to be.
I guess, Mark, can you explain City Attorney Orr's opinion a little bit from what I read here?
Yeah. So her opinion is that the Illinois Vehicle Code basically says this is how you set a speed limit, and that's what it gets set at. There is no, like, discretionary factor for boards and communities to be able to say, well, we did this study, but we think it should be slower, so, you know, instead of 45, we're gonna make it 35. It just says, you know, do this study, taking these things into account, and whatever that study says is what the speed limit shall be. So when we were thinking about it last meeting, like, what happens if we deviate from that? Like, you know, is there liability on our end? There's no discretion built into the Illinois Vehicle Code. It basically says you shall do this. And so that's what she's saying, is that the ramifications of us saying we did the study and then we changed it are like completely 100% against us. It would be, I'm assuming we would be liable for whatever happens there, and that whatever either, I don't know if it's a state's attorney or the state or if it's a random citizen that would have to sue us, but somebody would be able to sue us and get that overturned and it would go back to whatever it should be. So there, you know, us discussing the merits of changing it is not really consideration, is what she's saying.
Any other questions?
The other thing might be is, so this, like they were mentioning the flashing lights, if people think that helps, can those be permanent? Because right now they're not permanent, ones, right?
Those are, I would like to take those down and get the smaller ones that we have there. I believe it was last year when we first got them. They're the shaped by Home Depot. It was just a white background. It was
just
a smaller
size. It doesn't have the...
It doesn't have the board, giant,
right, yeah,
giant
board. Which is fine. Yeah, that's as long as it has the,
yep,
the LEDs, it tells you your speed.
It does.
I just want to make sure that that's there. I know we've kind of taken them down or turned them off where we're recording data, but not...
Correct.
So that it basically creates different reactions from people so we can still capture the data.
Yeah, we had talked about actually taking those signs down, I think, the day before the last Public Works Committee meeting, and then after the discussion and then, you know, this conversation supporting it. I don't think that we'll move those signs away from, or I don't think we'll move signs away from that location. It might be different signs.
Different signs, but
for a while. So
it'll be the LED signs.
But they will not be capturing data,
correct? Correct.
Okay. So if we need to capture data again,
we'll be working on those. The signs we have now are, they're meant to be put away in the winter. Right. They're a lot more expensive than the ones that we have.
Right.
Yeah, I would pursue that avenue for sure.
So Joey, you're going to get more permanent signs. Anything else? Any additional business? Anybody else? We can call on a chairman then.
That's good.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.